This morning we're going to be continuing our message from Psalms chapter 119, beginning with verse 92 through 96. God's word is sure. And as we look at this, last week we looked at verses 89 through 91. So this morning we will continue our study, our message on God's word. So, as we look at that, let's begin with verse 92, which says, "If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I would never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me." Now, that's a key word right there. Revived. So if you ever want to be revived, if you're down and out, depressed, or whatever is going on in your life, as the psalmist says, when I read your word, your precepts, I am revived. And that revived means renewed in the spirit. And verse 94, "I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies." In verse 96, "I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad." So, going right on into our message this morning, looking at what God can do or anchor us into His Word, or even into the eternal, and how He can use us, and how we can be used, even in this turbulent times in which we live, God's Word provides all the answers. So, looking first of all, the reviving Word, which was mentioned here in verse 92. So, as we can see through the eyes of the psalmist, and as God spoke through him his word, and as we receive it, and as we live according to God's word, verse 92 is saying that the faithfulness of God is not only reflected by his upholding creation, because he did, he created all things, and he upholds his creation, according to the psalmist. It is supremely seen in God's word. And as the psalmist again, let's look at that verse 92 again. "If your law had not been my delight," if I hadn't had your word, "I would have perished in my affliction." So, God came to his rescue. So, we might not be able to delight in what's going on in the world today. And many things that are happening in our world today, we do not delight in it. And we feel for those who are being afflicted or persecuted in the name of the Lord. But we can delight in what God says in his word. Because going back to verse 89, it says, "It is settled. Long ago, on the throne, your word was settled." For the word equips us to deal with changes of life and the crises that come within our lives today. So, we can go to the Word of God and be comforted there. Now, many, many times, since I've been a pastor for the last 38, now going on 39 years, I've been called by family members or a nurse to come to the hospital for an urgent need. Maybe the family member is severely ill and so forth. So I go quickly to the hospital when I'm called. And sometimes I have gotten there and met by the nurse or a doctor and say, well, the person you've come to visit didn't make it. They have died. Or many times I've gotten there in time and been able to talk with them and comfort them and pray with them. But those who die in the Lord or those who pass away, as I visit with the family, and then when it comes time for the service, when you enter into the parlor, first things you see the flowers, you see pictures, you see the video of the person's life portrayed upon on a video. And then you make your way, and I've made my way down to meet with the family, pray with them. But many, many times I have taken a family member by the hand to offer comfort and so forth. And I don't know how many times I've had that person say, Pastor, what would I do now without Jesus? I've heard that time after time. And what would we do if it wasn't for Jesus? And for those who do not know Jesus have no hope. They have hope, but they don't know who that hope is in until we share it with them or we talk to them about that. So, I wonder what we would do in time of troubles and sorrow if we didn't have a Savior. I don't know what I'd do. But I always find comfort. He always provides that in my life, in your life as well. So in God's Word, we learn of Jesus and listen to all of His precious promises. And His Word is full of promises, one after another. And the promises He made to all those like Abraham and Moses and everyone, Joshua and the disciples. One thing the Bible always says, I will be with you even into the end of the ages. Now, surely we can say with the psalmist, we would have perished in our afflictions if we had not been able to rest upon God's Word. So we can rest upon God's Word. And one place you can find that comfort and so forth, you go to Mark chapter 9 and read that chapter. And Mark provides precious words of encouragement when it comes to resting in the Word of God. Now, as we learn and as we trust the Word of God, we are prepared to withstand whatever pain may come our way. And in His Word, He shows us the secret of suffering. There is a secret in suffering, and that's trusting and leaning upon the Lord. Jesus says, come unto me, ye who are heavy burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. But my yoke is easy and it is light. That's the promise Jesus gives us. So He shows us what sin has done to ravish this earth. And He shows us that He is not distant from our sorrows, as many may say within this world. You know, where is God when we have conflicts within the world among countries and pain and sickness and everything? Well, God's on His throne. And whatever His will is, we trust Him that it is for our good. And it is to make us stronger. It is to make us more dependable upon Him and His Word. To go and get into the Word and read and find the answers that we need at any given time. And oftentimes, you know, if I have a particular spiritual need or any kind of need, physical need, I always find the answers in God's Word. And when I find those, I want to pass them along to you. And if you find them, you pass them on to me. And we all are comforted. And Jesus, Jesus and God working through the disciples and prophets and so forth, often says, gives a statement of the commands and the comforts. And in the final verse would say, then comfort one another with these truths, with these words. And that's what we are to do. Now, as we looked at 92, we are revived through obeying the word. And verse 93, it says again, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have been revived, or you have revived me, according to the psalmist. So God's word had not only taught the psalmist the way of life, it revived him, and it can revive us. So we tell new believers that those who get into the Word grow spiritually. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, Peter explains about that in new believers, getting into the Word and growing spiritually, maturing in their faith. Well, we tell new believers that. Still, what is true of new believers is also true of us who have been saved for a while or a long time. Isn't that? And we encourage new believers, then still we too need to be into the Word and being renewed and revived in our spirit. So we should continually seek to be refilled or filled or renewed with the truth of God. And we must all always remember the Word and the Spirit go together. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible tells us that when we worship the Lord, we worship Him in truth and in spirit. So that's why God's Word and the Spirit go together. As we've been studying on Wednesday night about the Word of God and the Spirit, that the Spirit works through our lives, through the Word. When we read the Word, the Holy Spirit interprets what we need to know at any given time. When we seek God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, He will reveal to us where we are within our lives and bring us along and renew us that we might be more mature in our spiritual growth. So we must always remember that the Word and the Spirit go together. Only through the Word does the Spirit renew us inwardly. Remember that. Okay. Now, let's look at the saving word. We looked at the reviving word. Let's look at the saving word, verses 94 through 96. So here we see the Word of God leads the psalmist to God Himself. Let me say that again. The Word of God leads the psalmist to God Himself. So having said that, His precepts have given him life. He immediately asked in verse 94 to be saved, delivered, or I would call sanctified, set apart for the good of salvation. So, because he had sought after God through seeking His Word, and that's when he said in verse 94, I am yours. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. So, bear in mind here, the psalmist does not mean that he has earned God's help. We don't earn it. We don't earn it. That help is guaranteed by the unconditioned, or I would say, unconditional covenant that he established with his people long, long time ago. And that promise continues on to us today. Whatever promises he made from the very beginning of his word, God breathed this word into existence. Those promises are still good today in our lives. And it doesn't mean that he is diligent in seeking God who saves. As you and I seek God, precepts, we learn again and again of his, what I would call, gracious promises of salvation. And Paul says we are to work out our salvation day by day. Not to keep on being saved, but working out our spiritual growth so that we will know exactly what God's will and purpose is for our lives each day. Okay? I want to know what God's purpose is and his will is for me today, and then tomorrow I'll ask again, and then the next day. So it's working our salvation out day by day, knowing, okay, I want to be exact where I need to be in the Lord day by day. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Okay, if we're not moving forward in the Word of God or growing in our spiritual life day by day, guess what's happening? We're going backwards. We might take a step forward, but if we're taking two steps back, how much ground are we gaining in our spiritual life? So it's very important that we grow spiritually day by day. So the Word brings about our sanctification, our holiness, our righteousness, but only if we will allow it to take place. Now, in John chapter 8, 31-32, I love these two verses. Here, Jesus was talking to the Jews who had believed in him. And this is what he said to them. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Now, you understand or you get what Jesus is saying here to his disciples? Now, he's not just saying if you know him, that's okay. But he says if you hold to my teachings, if you actually practice what I'm telling you, then you are really my disciples. But if you just hear and walk away, then you're not really a follower of me. And then in verse 32, Jesus goes on to say, then you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. Free from your sin, free from your past, free from your own nature, and then you have a new life in me. As we are baptized in the likeness of Christ and raised in the likeness of his resurrection, Romans 6:4 says, and we are to walk in the newness of life. And that's what the psalmist is here. This is what Jesus is saying. You know, if you will hold to my teachings, then you are set free from this world. You have an advantage over this world because you are a follower of me. So as you and I hold on to God's word, it can be a liberating, saving force in our lives that God intends for your life to be. And he intends for you to have the best in him. Now, for the cry for salvation could be seen in the proper context of the psalmist that's revealed right here in verse 95, which says, the wicked wait for me to destroy me. Is that happening today? It is, isn't it? We see it. The wicked in this world is wanting to destroy mankind. They have no sympathy for mankind because their hearts are evil, and they're seeking the things of the world and not things of God. And that's what the psalmist is saying. And whatever is relevant for back when the psalmist wrote these words, it is the same for us today. So when people get out of fellowship with God, one of the first things they do, remove themselves from the fellowship with God's people and stop going to places where they could be hearing the word and being taught the scriptures. As Jesus said, if you will just hold to my teachings, stay involved, stay attached, stay connected with me, stay connected with the church. In Hebrews 10:25, you know, it says, forsake not yourself assembling with one another, as some have or are doing, even the more as the day is soon appearing, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see those days coming as well. It has been said, the word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word. That is true, isn't it? That is true. So it's tragically true that sin keeps many from the word when they need it most. You've heard me say that before, haven't you? And I cannot say that enough. When you need to read the word, and if you don't feel like it, that's when you need to read it the most or pray the most, when you don't feel like it. And sometimes we don't feel like doing anything, do we? But that's when you need to do it the most. And that's when you will be blessed, when you do it anyway. So in verse 96, as we see that, it speaks to the limits of existence. So it says here in verse 96, I have seen a limit to all perfection. It almost sounds like Solomon, doesn't it? Solomon speaks these kind of words in Proverbs and so forth. And here, his father, David, says, the end to all earthly perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad, which means widely unlimited. So, we need to pray. We need to meditate on God's word. See, the Bible gives us a total view of life. It gives us the total view of death. It gives us a total view of eternity. And all of those are real. Right? Life is real, death is real, and eternity, which we haven't yet seen, is real. But it's coming to each one of us, and it is real. And the Bible gives us a total view of all three of those. Now, it never becomes irreverent, it never comes outdated, old-fashioned, or the Word of God is never behind times. It's always right on schedule. Now, it might not be on our schedule, but it's on God's schedule, and it's always on time. So what are some of the subtle truths that the psalmist is talking about here this morning? I believe it is God's holiness, and I believe it is God's love, and God's only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. And those are just a few that I can mention. I could go on and on and on of the biblical truths that are here in God's Word. So there is nothing that needs to be added. Everything that we need to know about life, death, and eternity is all right here in these written pages. If we have the motivation and the desire to get into the Word of God and just seek the precepts that Psalmist is talking about, we'll find them. The Holy Spirit, that's a promise that the Holy Spirit will reveal and show us exactly where we are in relationship to knowing what God's will and purpose is for our life. So we don't need to dream. Dreams are visions in the night to hear from God. Now, we may dreams, and you may see visions, and you may see signs. But God wants us just to trust Him in His Word, and that would be all sufficient for us, for you and me. And all we need to do is to read the words on the pages, absorb them, and obey them, and let the Spirit of God just lead and guide us. And when we do that, you'll be in God's will. In conclusion this morning, going back to verse 89, I love that verse. Your word is settled in heaven. So when we are engaged with God's word, we are engaged with that which lasts forever. We're engaged in His Word. And that means that we are to stand fast as a people. We are to stand fast as a church on the living Word of God. And it will endure forever. In an age like this, when all around us seems unsettled, there is only one thing that's guaranteed that's unshakable. What is that? That's God and His Word. There's only one place to put our confidence, and that's the Word of God. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That's Matthew 24. That verse takes us back to verse 89, right? Where it says, your word is settled in heaven. So, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will last forever. And I was reading in Isaiah and found this verse this morning. Verse 65, 17, for behold, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. God gave him insight even back then about the new heaven and earth that is to come. Isaiah himself prophesied about Jesus Christ coming. So God gave him that insight to foretell centuries way before Christ's coming of the things that were going to happen. Just in, like in Revelation, new heaven and new earth. Life is real, death is real, eternity is real. The ultimate is that God's word will endure forever. And that means we will too. If we receive and carry out Jesus' teaching, then we will be His disciples. Let us pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You for all that You give us in Your Word that pertains to our life as we're living now. And then when death comes, You'll give us the grace and the faith to face that day. A lot of people don't always have it. But You always provide that at the right time. And then when eternity, when we face that, then we'll realize that Your Word was the ultimate truth. And Your teachings were. Lord, I pray for each one here this day that everything is settled. That we've been revived by Your Word. And it is a saving Word. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You personally or listening live, we pray. As Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. During this invitation, Lord, may Your Holy Spirit just speak to each one of us and meet us exactly where we are. And may we have the faith to step out and make that decision. Help us to respond to Your invitation. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.